We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the holy city of Qum, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program is a continuation of the theme of the impact of society and social development upon juridical opinion. And we discussed with our expert on this subject, just as a recap, just to remind ourselves exactly what we were speaking about, and that was that jurisprudence or Sharia, divine law, was established by the Ahlul Bayt as an institution with clear boundaries and with the flexibility of the difference of understanding of particular rulings by scholars on certain aspects of a particular ruling. So in other words, what I'm saying is that the scholars themselves do have a certain flexibility within the boundaries of understanding what is permissible and impermissible, but they can look at a certain issue and see certain angles associated with it or certain aspects in it, either in depth or in terms of what it literally applies to society. Secondly, we were talking about that scholars revisit the law for certain issues which are needing an opinion or an edict at a time when society is faced with new developments. And thirdly, we were talking about giving examples of that sort of thing, where we were talking about Islamic government, which was pretty highly spoken about in the early part of Islamic history, but then somehow tailed off because it wasn't an issue as such. But then once again, it was revisited when Islamic government became a reality. And now it is established as an institution. We also talked about other examples like jihad, for example, which is a very controversial issue, but really there is not really much spoken about it by scholars in that regard, except in the aspect of defense. There are other issues, hot topics, for example, like slavery, but really not an issue at the moment in terms of Islamic rulings. Finally, there was the other aspect that we were looking at, which is really about the impact of fiqh on belief, morals, ethics, philosophy, and science, because it's a broad range of things that we are looking at, and trying to arrive at a new understanding of divine law and rulings upon the daily lives of believers. The emphasis, of course, the goal being that we are trying to purify ourselves in terms of our salvation in the hereafter, and therefore the understanding the Sharia as it applies to us in various times is really for our own prosperity. Today we hope to discuss further with our expert on the positive and negative aspects of these rulings, and we want to be clear about the methodology, about what is the line, what is the fine boundary between these two aspects. So we'll do that after a short break, so please stay with us, we'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your regular host, Ijaz Hussain. I'd like to introduce my expert on the subject of this impact of society and social development on juridical opinion. And I have once again the honor and pleasure of having Sheikh Hamza Sodagar from the Holy Seminaries of Qum. Well, a very warm welcome to you, sir. Salam.
Salam alaikum to yourself and all the viewers. And thank you for having me again.
Alaykum salam. Thank you very much, sir. Now, I hope I did justice in terms of the recap of what we discussed last time, because this isn't an easy subject to get your head round, especially if you're a novice. You know, I find that when you do these kinds of discussions, really, I hope that our discussions are bringing it home to viewers that this is not as straightforward and black and white as just simply looking up a risala or a book on jurisprudence or rulings by a mujtahid or a scholar, and hoping just to be able to interpret exactly what needs to be done on a particular issue, because there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. And of course, you know, I think from our last discussion, our last session, you were talking about three particular things that affect the understanding of those rulings of that fiqh from social development. And you talked about one of them at length, which was, you know, the prevalence of a particular issue at a particular time when jurisprudence is needed to be looked at for, you know, to have an edict or a ruling for that. But then you went on to talk about the positive and negative aspects, because I know we raised some controversial issues from last time, but I think that needs a lot of clarity. And hopefully, I know these sessions are very short, but hopefully we'll try to cover what you exactly mean by that.
Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to actually stress on the fact that viewers do need to follow these discussions if they wish to watch very closely.
Yes.
And they need to pay attention to what is being said.
Yes.
Sometimes you're listening to just a regular lecture that talks about something very simple, and you don't need to be too attentive to that in order to get something out of it.
Sure.
And there won't be much confusion.
No.
Or
no.
Something that would, a form of confusion that would really make a big difference in one's life.
Sure.
But this discussion is one that affects people's beliefs, it affects people's understanding of what's actually going on, what their scholars are doing, what the Maraja are doing.
Sure.
And therefore, I really, really suggest, and I hope and pray that the viewers are understanding this the way it is intended, inshallah.
Sure, inshallah.
As you very well put it, we did talk about, after talking about the background and how juridical opinion is derived in the first place,
sure.
Then we started to talk about how society has an effect on it. One way was, you know, where a discussion is prevalent amongst the jurists or it's not, that partially has to do with what's going on in society.
Sure.
If there's something new that's developed, or something that may have even been old, but for various reasons, that discussion had died out in society, and now it's back again, and therefore you'll see it in the works of these scholars.
Sure.
Then we started to talk about where social development actually affects the understanding and the opinion itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the first one doesn't really affect the opinion, it's just
no.
Whether or not a discussion is prevalent.
Sure.
Okay. Although naturally, when a topic is revisited over and over again, that does cause for the development of different opinions.
Sure.
Okay, so that in an indirect way does have that effect. But we want to focus, and we started focusing on the idea that the opinions can be affected. I think the first point we mentioned was to explain this to the viewers that Islamic teachings we have from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and the Ahlul Bayt have clearly been mentioned to have a sort of depth and also the aspect of being dynamic, the ability to, when we're talking about the practical aspect of Islam, the ability for those very same words of the Holy Prophet that have been mentioned at that time,
sure.
To be able to apply to all issues all the way until the Day of Judgment. Okay. In other words, it is clear that the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, in other words, the Holy Prophet passed down this knowledge to the Ahlul Bayt. We don't have all of this knowledge directly from the Holy Prophet. We have much of it through the Ahlul Bayt and their explanation.
Sure.
When you put that whole package together, not just the Holy Prophet or the Holy Quran, it's the Holy Quran, the sayings of the Holy Prophet, the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, they have been mentioned to be such that they are going to take care of all of what we need until the Day of Judgment.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that itself tells us that there are going to be certain things that were not prevalent or even understandable concepts to a certain extent in the times of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, which are going to be developed later on. You will have, you will see these developments in society and personal life later on, but those very same sayings of the Holy Prophet, the same verses of the Holy Quran will tell the individual and the society how to live their lives in a religious way, where they're going to be having prosperity and experiencing prosperity in this world and in the hereafter.
Sure.
So that itself tells us that there is going to be further development later on of the same sayings of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, and the verses of the Holy Quran. The example, although we mentioned in the previous session, was not even a juridical example. We mentioned that it is clear that there are certain things, even related to the concept of Tawheed or monotheism, the in-depth understanding of that, that has been said to us in the sayings of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, that this will develop further and further until later on, closer to the end of time, people are going to start to realize what the actual meaning of some of these verses are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we talked about that. All right. But there's something else that I need to also state.
Sure.
That is going to help us understand why, when society has an effect on the understanding of a jurist, that can either be a positive effect, it would be a form of effect that we would welcome it, mm-hmm. we would say that this is a positive influence, a positive role that social development has on the understanding of a jurist. Okay. And we would say, we welcome these things, we encourage the jurists, we encourage the Hawza students or the seminary students to go and study and be part of society, look at that development in order to have a more correct understanding of the Islamic laws and also the other areas of Islamic disciplines. But then there's the negative side of it, and there's a certain effect that social development may have on the opinion of scholars, on the opinion of jurists. That is a negative one, mm-hmm. that we would discourage people from having that. We would say that this is actually something instead of, I would word it like this, instead of social development having an effect on the opinion of the jurist, it should be the reverse. The jurist, because there is a two-way relationship here.
Sure, it's a two-way relationship.
And
yes.
The jurist is supposed to influence social development, where, according to Islam, it needs to influence positively a negative social development. If it doesn't, and instead it develops a negative influence from that negative social development, that is wrong. Mm. Okay. So in order to understand this as a general principle, let me state this.
Please.
On one hand, we mentioned the ahadith that tell us, the Holy Prophet, before he passed away, he told us that there will be people that will understand my words better. Mm. There will be people that will look at these words and they will understand them better than, well, not the Ahlul Bayt, but we're talking about the non-ma'sumin. There will be people that will develop these better later on. Okay. On the other hand, there's something else that the Holy Prophet has said, the verses of the Holy Quran have said as well, which we need to understand. And that is, I'll mention something with regards to the wording or the words of the Holy Prophet, and then something from the Holy Quran, which talks about the history of religion.
Sure.
From the Holy Prophet, he tells us, before he passed away, he said, O people, referring to his companions.
Sure.
These were very strong words he said. He said, people, while I'm alive, people are attributing lies to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting. I've heard of this, yes.
He said, while I'm alive, there are people that attribute lies to me.
Yes, that's right.
So you need to know that God knows how many lies are going to attribute to me afterwards.
Mm.
Okay. So this is something to keep in mind.
Sure.
Now, how does this tie into our discussion?
Yes.
We'll start to see.
Yes.
When we look at the verses of the Holy Quran talking about previous nations, previous religions, we see that in a number of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't think I need to state this, that everybody knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the children of Israel.
Yes.
The Jewish nation, mm-hmm. In a very negative context, over and over and over again, he plenty of times tells them, you were the chosen people. They still think that they are the chosen people.
Yeah, but you were.
They were. Yes. They were the chosen people. Yes, God chose them for the prophets, or he gave them the guidance through the prophets. Sure. But the problem was, all the blessings that God provided, generally speaking, this is not stereotyping. We're not including all Jews.
No.
But on a general note, the move of the Jewish nation was towards disobedience, okay, and not accepting that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over and over again. If you look at the stories of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly mentions this. Now, how does this happen? How did this happen that all these people, the Jewish nation, they've had so many blessings from Allah, they've been guided? What happened that these people moved away from that?
Right. Sheikh Hamza, it's a good point to stop, because we'll carry on with this discussion of what happened to Bani Israel, that they moved towards, as you say, disobedience of God's laws. But we'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. I'd like to remind viewers that there will be a website as well as an email subtitle on the screen. Please use it if you feel you want to make any contributions to the program, or if you have any questions regarding what we are discussing. We are discussing with Sheikh Hamza Sodagar, of course, on social development, on the impact on juridical opinion, on jurists. But before the break, you were touching on something very interesting, because it was like 2 + 2 for me in terms of what you were saying, because of you first of all pointed out quite nicely for us that that's true, that you know there'll be lies attributed to the Holy Prophet in terms of the words and sayings that he was saying that while he was alive, never mind after his demise. But of course, you were talking about Bani Israel, you know, that you know the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, persistently continuing on a path of disobedience. But I think you were going to tell us the crux of why that had happened.
Yes, what I was going to get to, and I hope I'm able to finish this session here too, is that the reason why Bani Israel went in that direction and did not stop, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, a number of verses that touch on this topic, is two things. Both of them have to do with scholars.
Ah, right.
Both of them have to do with scholars.
Yes, because I kind of recall Prophet Jesus, son of Mary, having this issue with them, but I'll let you carry on.
Yes.
But you're quite right, sir, the scholars.
Both of them
well
have to do with the scholars. Uh-huh. One of them is, I'll start with the less problematic one, meaning the less harsh one.
The less harsh one, yes.
The less harsh one is the following. When the people went astray, and this is very relevant to our discussion, when the people, society, social development, starts moving
away
from divine teachings.
Divine teachings, yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمْ الرَّبَّانِيُونَ, if I read it correctly.
Sure.
The meaning of it in English is, why didn't the scholars prevent them? People start moving in the wrong direction.
Sure.
The scholars are supposed to, the scholars that understand and realize that this is wrong, they remain silent and they let this go. Okay, this is one problem.
Yes, this is one problem, their silence.
The other problem, which is even more relevant to us, is the following, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, two things related to the same point. One, with regards to the scholars, it says, they used to write books and attribute it to the divine, but they were actually not from the divine. Okay.
Oh.
Fabrications.
They were fabrications.
Okay.
Yes.
Fabrications that happen, according to the Holy Quran, were in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the lies that were attributed to the divine or to the prophets were done in two ways.
Sure.
One is to actually add words, add sentences, create something and attribute it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they would write books and say this is from God where it wasn't from God.
Sure.
Okay. So that's one way. But the more dangerous way of fabricating and misleading people is يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ, misinterpreting, intentionally misinterpreting the verses and the ahadith of their prophets.
Well, this sounds like familiar territory in today's age because we are getting a lot of that misinterpretation.
Yes, there is.
Exactly.
Well,
yes.
I mean, there is a lot of it, but I need to state,
yes,
it's not coming from the scholars and Shi'i scholarship. Okay.
No, it's not coming from us. We're trying our best to correct it.
But there is a lot of that flying around.
Yes, I agree.
I completely agree with that.
Yes.
There's a lot of misinterpretations that are all over the place.
But as you say, deliberate.
Deliberate, but it's not coming from the Shi'i sources.
This is
something that I want to stress on. We're going to stress on and we're going to get to this. So, the prophets, the scholars of Bani Israel, actually, they did this. And then the other side of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the problem with the Jews was that they obeyed these scholars. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took these scholars as أرباب, as lords.
Lords.
As opposed to taking God as the only Lord.
Mm.
And then Hadith explains, he says, do you think, the Imam says, do you think they used to prostrate to these scholars? They didn't.
No.
Do you think they used to bow to them? They didn't.
No.
These scholars misinterpreted and fabricated religious laws, and the people followed them, without asking, without
questioning
that in a positive manner.
In a positive way, yes.
In brief, again, let's look at this.
Sure.
The idea is we have warnings from the Ahlul Bayt, from the verses of the Holy Quran. The reason why the stories of the previous nations have been mentioned is that so we don't get involved with that. We don't head in the same direction that they did.
Yes.
Okay. So, fabrications, lies, misinterpretations, most important, most relevant to our discussion, misinterpretations, deliberate misinterpretations, led the Jews, the children of Israel, in the wrong direction, the majority of them.
Yes.
Okay. So all of these warnings are to tell us, be careful, people, scholars as well as laymen.
Absolutely.
Be very careful that this has happened before. You have got to make sure that this doesn't happen to you.
Mm.
What happens is that this starts to develop the wrong form of interpretation deliberately. Sometimes, of course, maybe not so deliberately, but it does happen. And unfortunately, people start following that.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have two sayings or two set of teachings from Islam.
Sure.
On one hand, we have the idea that there will be further development of Islamic thought, understanding that is more in depth than what used to exist at the time of the Prophet. There will be new development of that. And that is encouraged. Okay.
That's the positive.
That's one. On the other hand, there's great warning. Beware of misinterpretations.
That's it. Yes.
Now let's get to the examples that we want to mention.
Sure.
Sometimes social development helps with that positive understanding. In other words, the social development, a jurist watching that and having an understanding of it and experiencing it, then revisiting the verses and the ahadith, looks at that and feels or has an understanding of that, which is more accurate than the previous understanding.
Any time previously, yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
That is positive.
Sure.
Viewers may start thinking now when I introduce the example that why is this example being talked about? It just so happens that I have done a bit more research on this particular topic.
Okay.
This is probably the reason that many of my examples are on this. We talked about Islamic government a number of times and the different opinions that have developed. And I remember we talked about the difference between two jurists. both of whom firmly believed in the concept of Walayat al-Faqih during the time of the occultation.
Right.
Imam Khomeini on one hand, and Ayatollah Shaheed Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr on the other hand.
May
Allah
yes.
have his peace and blessings upon
upon
both
him,
of them.
Yes, of course.
When you look at Shaheed Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, rahmatullah alayhi, he's a firm believer in Walayat al-Faqih. But what does he say? He says that the faqih, a jurist, is limited by the boundaries of Islamic Sharia.
Mm-hmm. He's okay. limited by the boundaries of
So if Islamic Sharia says something is haram, okay,
yes,
then the faqih cannot make it permissible.
No.
Okay?
Sure.
Even temporarily, for the good of the Muslim ummah. He can't.
He can't.
It's just outside the jurisdiction
right.
of mm-hmm. a faqih.
Sure.
Okay. Now, Sayyidina Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, may Allah bless his soul, he wrote a lot on this concept of Walayat al-Faqih, but he never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He did not experience
no,
that.
No, he didn't.
Imam Khomeini did experience it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, this is where he had
10 years in which to practice that
when
office.
When he experienced Walayat al-Faqih,
yeah.
and you realize what the facts about social life mean,
yes.
in a global context that we have today,
sure.
you realize that, and you start to have some questions. Wait a second. If this is an Islamic system that is supposed to function during the time of the occultation, before the coming of the Ma'soom, if these are the instructions and a faqih is limited within these boundaries, it's impractical.
Ah.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, you can't. Mm. One example, I'll just mention
please,
one example.
Please.
And I hope, people understand this the way it is intended.
Intended, oh. yes. Sure.
At the beginning of the revolution, this is not today,
mm-hmm.
okay? First few years after the revolution, it kind of changed. I'll give, inshallah, two examples.
Sure.
One example is with regards to interest. Okay. Riba.
Riba, yes, yes.
When the revolution succeeded in Iran,
yes.
there were banks that were functioning. They had banks, okay. And these banks were not functioning based on Islamic law.
No.
It was a non-Islamic system.
Of
okay?
course, of course.
So they actually had straight up interest.
Yes.
Okay. Very bluntly put and very openly stated interest.
Yes.
Okay. Riba. Mm-hmm. So these banks had riba going on, right. interest going on. The entire body of...
Sheikh, I've just been told that we are... Just in
Give
the last few seconds, so we'll have to carry on with this particular point into the next session. But if you could just tie it in the last few seconds, please.
They had to. Mm-hmm. If they would have said no banks, that would have shut down the whole country.
Exactly.
It would have shut down the whole country. So Islam either says you have a government that will function,
sure.
which means that you're going to have to allow riba go on until we get that fixed up.
Yes.
Or you don't have a functional system. Say we give up. Let the others come over and take over government. And
Sheikh,
based on that, the understanding changes.
Sheikh Hamza Sadegar, I'm so sorry to cut you off there because it's a very important example of what you're mentioning in terms of how laws are interpreted, as you say, in the sense that they are needed to be interpreted for a particular situation. But it just leaves me to thank you for the moment for your contribution on the program. And hopefully we'll carry on with this discussion in the next session. And it just leaves me to also thank our viewers for watching today. I hope that you follow the intention, as our expert says, in terms of what's being said about the interpretation of Sharia. Because, of course, the office of Walayat al-Faqih is not an easy issue for many believers to get their heads around. But inshallah, in the next session, we'll discuss more about it. But it just leaves me to thank our viewers and just to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for watching and goodbye.